Over the past few years, we've started hearing a lot about regenerative agriculture, which focuses on soil health, biodiversity and climate resilience. And on Country Life, we've met a number of farmers using it, and those who do swear by it. However, there's disquiet among many scientists, consultants and farmers that we are rather reinventing the wheel when it comes to its use in New Zealand. Soil scientist Doug Edmead says he could weep that some of the already small pool of government research money, $1.5 million in fact, is being funnelled into promoting regenerative agriculture. He says RA was developed in North America and Australia as a way to improve organic matter in soils that had been overgrazed, overcropped and overcultivated, or had blown away. Basically, the land was a dust bowl. Doug says this is not New Zealand. Susan Murray caught up with Dr. Edmead and started by asking him what the actual techniques of regenerative agriculture are.
They practice rotational grazing. They say they keep soils covered. They want multi-species pastures and zero tillage. Now, most New Zealand farmers are either doing some of those things or done them all or moving toward them, say something like zero tillage cropping. So our farmers have been always doing those sort of things, so there's no surprise there at all. What my concern is the claims that they make. If you do those things, then they make all these claims. One, you can do without fertiliser or use less fertiliser, which is a nonsense, of course. If you're farming, you're sending product off the farm, you're sending nutrients off and you've got to replace them. If you don't, you're going backwards. They make claims about this is if you do all those things, have multiple pasture species, you have long rotational undertake rotational grazing, then you're returning a lot of organic matter to the soil and therefore soil organic matter will build up over time. That's sort of true, but it has to be put in some context. Our farmers today, our pastoral farmers, we're talking about pastoral farming, are already, if you do the sums on it, if you're growing, say, 10 tonnes of pasture dry matter and utilising it, if you're very good, 80%, that's 2 tonnes of organic matter going back into the soil in a conventional system. So if you've got a 100-acre dairy farm, that's 200 tonnes of compost, in effect, going back on the farm. So that's where and why organic matter levels increase over time on soils. But after about 20 years or up to 50 years, depending on the soil type you're looking at, the amount of organic matter reaches an equilibrium. You can't save more. And most of our farmers today are already at that equilibrium point. That's one of the other problems that I have with regenerative agriculture. Yes, organic matter is important, no question about that. Yes, organic matter is important to soil quality, all those things. So our farmers are already very regenerative in that sense. They're already doing all those things naturally, although that hasn't been explained to them in that way. And there is the problem, is that people, the RA people, they're claiming new ground as if it was just they're the first people to think of it, and that's not the case at all. I'll give a good example of that. About 20 years ago, a group of us soil scientists got together on that question of soil quality, and we defined 7 tests that you could apply to the soil to measure soil quality. Now, I'm talking about the chemical quality of the soil, the biological quality, and the physical quality. Those 7 tests have been used in surveys up and down the country, and I think, if I remember the numbers correctly, and 85% of the parameters measured come back as optimal. One area that is not optimal is this problem that arises with high stocking rates and overcropping, and that is soil compaction, where the soil becomes more compressed, the porosity is lost, and hence the ability of the soil to drain is gone, and so you get more runoff. Now, so I accept that's a problem with modern-day farming, and I accept we need to solve it, and I'm sure we will, but we'll use our logic and our science to do that.
So if we are, in effect, doing quite a bit of that, should we, and it appears to be, even internationally, it's talked about a lot more and is, say, gaining some traction, should we not then just, say, include that in the description of how we are already farming?
Then that's a fair point. And if fine by me. That's great. Whatever we can do to market, get into markets and sell our produce, that's great. But let's not delude ourselves that we're somehow going to improve soil quality and reduce greenhouse gases as a consequence. That won't happen. So I agree with it as a marketing tool, but as a scientific understanding, it doesn't help us anywhere. There's another important point here. The only formal analysis I've seen that will stand peer review about regenerative agriculture was done by an Australian group called Holmes Hackett. They are agricultural consultants specialising in economics. And they've done a study, I think a 10-year study, comparing a bunch of farmers who were regenerative and a bunch of farmers who were conventional. And the upshot of all that is that regenerative farming is not economic relative to conventional farming. Now, so here we have the government giving money to a group that's running around promoting RA, which is, we know, really not economic. Now, how does that help New Zealand? I don't know.
When you meet farmers who aren't necessarily pushing the barrow but have decided to farm in the regenerative agriculture mould, a lot of them will just say, but we're enjoying what we're doing. It's given us more interest. A lot of what they're doing is this mixed pasture species. So we might just have ryegrass and clover on a conventional farm, and they're saying we're increasing other things into our mixtures that lets us reduce fertiliser. Some of them don't say don't use any. They'll say we can reduce it, their animal health is better. They seem to enjoy what they're doing, and they're taking a lot of observational time over what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but people in the organic sector have been saying that for 30 years about their farming practices. So that's not a news story at all. Another example, I have a client down the Wairarapa, and chatting to him a couple of weeks back about how his farm's going. And he said, oh, really, great. I'm now practicing rotational grazing around my flats with my beef animals. And he was all excited about this, how wonderful it was. And I thought to myself, yeah, he's finally caught up with farming technology from the 50s and 60s, rotational grazing. McMeekin discovered rotational grazing and the value of that. So once again, we should be in praise of good science practice, but not what I call pseudoscience.
But just because it's, say, new to these people then, does that make it wrong?
No, it's not a matter of wrong or right. It's a matter of what are the scientific principles here that we're trying to promote? Another example of that is that at its very basis in terms of soils, soil chemistry and et cetera, their proposition is that you've got to do things to feed the soil biology, the soil bugs. They get activated and they then release locked up nutrients for the plant to grow. That's the basis, the heart of organic farming and regenerative farming. But the science doesn't say that. The science is quite different from that. The science says put the fertiliser on, get the pasture growing, and the more you grow, the more will go back into the soil and hence organic matter levels will build up. That's what the science says. So what they're saying is that somehow if you practice these different rotations and multiple species, you're going to get more organic matter going back into the soil, and hence this is going to be good for soil quality. And you don't have to use as much fertiliser because the bugs are unlocking all these nutrients that are locked up in the soil. Well, there's no such thing as locked up nutrients in the soil. The soil has a reservoir, it has tanks of nutrients, but most of it's available for plant growth. They misunderstand the science that we have developed in the last 40 years for pastoral farming.
Could they, though, nonetheless, they're still having success, they mightn't understand the science behind it, maybe they're using the wrong words, but farming the way they are by, say, using plants with deeper taproots so that they might survive drought more than, say, a ryegrass or clover, which could tip over, and they're helping microbial health in the soil, which you're saying you can do conventionally, they're just saying they can do it their way.
Well, once again, where's the data that says that if you have these multiple species, you're bound to have more plants which are deeply rooted? Where's the data to prove that? Let's take regenerative farming apart in terms of what positive things are there in terms of what the science says, and leave the rest behind. It's just nonsense.
we meet in Country Life, and Country Calendar did a program on a Central Otago guy where they were growing huge varieties of plants. They were getting good results. They'd been doing it for 6 or 7 years. Mm. And a lot of it, mentally, you'll talk to the partner of the person on the farm and they'll say they're much more relaxed, they're happier. You know, they might have overcome summer dry because of these varieties, those sorts of arguments.
Well, I'm not a plant agronomist person, so I have to be careful what I say here. But one of the tenets of regenerative agriculture, same as conventional agriculture, is having a legume in the system, and in our case, a white clover. Now, white clover has a very prostrate habit, and it doesn't like to be competed with big, tall, lanky grass. These people are having rotation lengths, so the pastures are very, very long. That's quite the opposite thing that you need to do, what science says you need to do, if you're going to maximise the amount of natural organic nitrogen going back into the soil. If you want to do away with fertiliser nitrogen, you've got to get the nitrogen from somewhere, and the clover is the only place to go. So let's manage our pastures so that we optimise the amount of clover nitrogen going in the system so that we don't have to use so much fertiliser in. So that's the whole basis of our legume-based pastoral system. And if we can find things to do to tweak that, that's fine. But let's not delude ourselves, as I said before, into doing something special or in terms of soil quality, soil organic matter level or greenhouse gases. I don't see that happening. Pastoral industry is the biggest industry in town, and it generates about $21 billion worth of wealth for New Zealand. That whole industry is based on having a legume, a clover-based pasture. Now, anything you do which is going to undermine or negate the value importance of clover nitrogen is a bad thing to do. That's just a given.
Do regenerative agriculture people perhaps beat the drum loudly now because of some farming in New Zealand, which one could say has been allowed to happen in the wrong place? We have got dirtier waterways. We do have nitrogen runoff. We do have phosphorus runoff. We do have sedimentation. Do you think some of that's mixed up and why this is coming out?
Yes, I do. And indeed, that's one of their claims they make, is that if we practice RA agriculture, therefore there'll be less nutrients going to the streams, etc., etc. Let me just say it very, very clearly. We do, in agriculture, have a major problem with water quality, and we've got to get on top of it. We will solve the water quality problem, but we don't have to throw all the science out with the baby. We should have more science to do it. So coming back to the water quality thing, if, as they say, if you practice these rotations and use all these multiple pasture species, if they say they can increase production, increase the amount of pasture they can grow, and they'll therefore want to increase their animal production, as they increase animal production, they increase the amount of nutrient going into the soil. That's what the science says. It's an animal-based thing. It's certainly nitrate. The more stock units you have per unit area, the more nitrate will be leached. So once again, I can empathise with their concern about we need to improve what we've got in terms of the environment and in terms of looking after our soils. That's all good. And we've got a lot of science which explains how our system works. So let's have more science to do even better than before, and look after the waterways, and look after the soil quality, and all that thing, based on good, sound science rather than some practice that has been developed way, way, way from this country, which doesn't apply to us. I was going to make the point. I get sick and tired as I get older of the negativity that runs around, and it doesn't matter what you listen to. You know, this is bad, that's bad, everything else. And so I remind farmers, in particular, who need to have confidence about their farming processes, about all the science that they are inadvertently involved in, although they didn't know about it. And so I talk to farmers about these soil quality indicators, and there's no evidence that of the indicators which measure biological activity, there's no evidence that the biology is declining. And I say, so just relax, old chap. Go home, sit down, pour yourself a whiskey, and get on with your farming, because New Zealand needs good farmers doing good things.
Soil scientist Dr. Doug Admeads.